Brethren, there are many reasons why we should love and extol our God. For as we've already considered this summer, our God is most loving, most gracious, most merciful, most long-suffering or patient, and abundant in goodness and truth. And these qualities or attributes of God alone make him absolutely worthy of our continued affection and trust. However, there's another attribute or quality of God that I want us to consider this morning that should cause us to love and appreciate him even more. And that is the fact that our God is most forgiving. Most forgiving. For as our confession of faith states in chapter 2, paragraph 1, lines 7 and 8, our God reveals himself as one who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sins, given that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And of course, the fact that God is forgiving is repeatedly expressed throughout the scriptures. In fact, let me just mention for you three key texts this morning. There are many verses I could quote, and you know me, I could quote a lot. But let me just quote three key texts in particular. First, let me call your attention to Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. You don't have to turn there, but let me just have your attention if I could. Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3, the psalmist writes these words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction." In Psalm 130 and verse 4, the psalmist asks this compelling question, "If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared." In Micah chapter 7 and verse 18, Micah praises God with these words, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us, and he will subdue our iniquities." And so we are right to confess this morning as God's people that our God is a forgiving God who delights in mercy, who is slow to anger. And yet we must also go further than merely stating that he is a forgiving God, for we must also confess that he is most forgiving. Most forgiving. Meaning that he is the being who most forgives, and meaning that there is no other being who can possibly compare to him when it comes to manifesting forgiveness. And why is our God most forgiving? Well, let me share with you this morning seven reasons why he is. And I will not belabor these reasons, but I think they're all important and would ask you to reflect upon them as I go through them this morning. Why is our God most forgiving? Number one, our God is most forgiving because he is by nature forgiving, and he bestows forgiveness to men as he sovereignly pleases. Whereas human beings, on the other hand, are not forgiving by nature, are they? Nor do human beings have any right to ask God for forgiveness apart from the provision that God has made for sin. And Daniel spoke of what men deserve and what God by nature possesses in Daniel chapter 9, verses 8 and 9. Listen to what Daniel says. "Lord, to us, human beings, belongs shame of face. to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have sinned against you. And so forgiveness is God's possession. Forgiveness is what God gives sovereignly. He is the source of all forgiveness. And of course, any forgiveness that human beings by grace extend to one another is not a product of their own natures, for again, man is not forgiving by nature, but it is a gift from God, given that God enables men to forgive. And God extends the grace of forgiveness whenever and to whomever He pleases. Then secondly, God is most forgiving because He is eager to forgive sinners. He is eager to forgive sinners. And God's eagerness or God's readiness to forgive repentant sinners is praised throughout Scripture as an expression of His mercy and of His grace. For example, the psalmist writes in Psalm 86 and verse 5, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive." And I just want you to think about that for a moment. Good and ready, eager to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. In Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 17, Nehemiah recalls with regret Israel's past refusal to seek God's forgiveness. But then he rejoices, Nehemiah rejoices in the fact that God is always ready to forgive. Listen to what Nehemiah said. "Our fathers refused to obey and were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. But they hardened their necks, and in rebellion they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God." What are you like, God? "Ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and you did not forsake them." And thus God is not portrayed in Scripture as one who grudgingly forgives those who seek forgiveness from Him, but He is portrayed as one who delights in giving pardon to those who seek pardon on His terms. For He would rather pardon than punish sinners. Do you believe that? He would rather pardon than punish guilty sinners. And we should remember this. Then thirdly, our God is most forgiving because He forgives all manner of offenses against Him. He forgives all manner of offenses against Him. For the ways that men can dishonor God are many. But the forgiveness that God gives to those who seek Him, to those who repent, removes all manner of offenses committed against Him. And God wants men to know this, that He forgives all their sins, all of the transgressions that they've committed against Him. For example, let me support this in Scripture. In Exodus 34 and verses 6 and 7, God revealed to Moses who He is and how the people of Israel were to know Him and to understand Him. And we read here, "For the Lord passed before Moses, and the Lord proclaimed to Moses," or identified Himself to Moses in this way, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands." Note these words, "forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin." And you may recognize these words, by the way, because this is the verse that our confession of faith is quoting from, this verse in Exodus 34, 6, and 7. And notice that according to this verse, God forgives three sorts of offenses against him in particular. Notice he forgives iniquity. What is iniquity? Well, iniquity is acts of wickedness or acts of injustice. He also forgives transgression. What is transgression? Acts which violate God's revealed limits or boundaries. And he forgives sin. What is sin? Acts or thoughts which transgress his holy law. And all of these offenses are grievous and ugly in the sight of God. All of these offenses are an affront to our holy God. And yet, none of these offenses are beyond God's pardon when forgiveness from him is genuinely sought. For God has made provision for them all. Then fourthly, our God is most forgiving because he forgives completely. He forgives completely. And by this I mean that God forgives in such a way that we are never confronted with our sins again. Nor is his forgiveness ever repealed. And we see this in some amazing passages. Let me just share these with you. And these excite my heart when I hear them. And I hope they excite yours as well. In Psalm 103 and verse 12, the psalmist speaks of the extent of God's forgiveness. And he writes these words. I'm sure you've heard these words before. For as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And of course, this expression, east to the west, is really an expression which speaks of an endless distance. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. In Jeremiah 31, verses 33 and 34, God speaks of how things will be under the new covenant. God says the following, I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. And of course, that promise which God gave in Jeremiah 31, 33, and 34 is repeated in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. Consider this passage, Micah chapter 7 and verse 20. Here in this passage, Micah expresses his confidence that God will forget Israel's sins with these words, You, God, will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. So imagine, if you would, please, this picture of God taking all of our sins, gathering them all together, and then casting all of our sins into the depths of the sea. And why the depths of the sea? So that they would be forgotten there. So that they would never rise up or surface again. Because when God forgives all manner of offenses against him, he recalls them no more. And they never resurface to the sinner's account. Then fifthly, our God is most forgiving because his forgiveness is proof that he is the rewarder of those who constantly seek him by faith. It's proof that he is the rewarder of those who constantly seek him by faith. In fact, our confession of faith makes this point in chapter 2 and paragraph 1. For our confession, after stating that God forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, immediately identifies God as the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, which is a quote from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Because when God forgives, He is graciously rewarding the sinner with what that sinner seeks, forgiveness. Although God is the one who in grace gave the sinner the grace to seek Him in the first place. And by rewarding sinners in this way, God proves, He doesn't have to prove this, but He wills to prove it, He delights to prove, that He is not a cruel taskmaster who demands repentance but who never rewards, but rather He is a forgiving master who rewards also. Brethren, this truth that God forgives freely all those who seek Him diligently should provide all the incentive that His people need to obey Him. Well, brethren, let's be honest. It is a joy to serve a God who forgives and rewards. Would you agree with that? Certainly it is true. It is a joy to serve such a God. And then sixth of all, God is most forgiving because He sent Jesus to purchase forgiveness for His people, and He forgives them for Jesus' sake. For Jesus came to this earth to purchase redemption, which Paul defines in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14 as forgiveness of sins. And to accomplish this, Paul states in that very same passage, Colossians 1 and verse 14, that Jesus had to shed His own precious blood to do it. And thus, when God forgives sinners, He does so not because of any human merit that He sees in the sinner, but rather He forgives because of what Jesus voluntarily did on the cross at Calvary. For at Calvary, Jesus made the once and for all sacrifice that God's holy justice demanded so that forgiveness of sins could be poured out upon all of those who call upon Jesus. In fact, God's willingness to forgive sinners was most clearly seen not in the garden, where the first promise of redemption was made, nor in the sacrifices of the Old Testament, which were just reminders of sin and a better sacrifice to come, but it was most clearly seen at Calvary, where Jesus died for sinners. So these are, I believe, some very persuasive reasons why our God is most forgiving. And yet, how should these truths affect us? Well, allow me to make some applications this morning from what we have already heard. First of all, brethren, let us recognize from the very start God's forgiving nature. For I said to you before, God desires to be known by His people as a forgiving God. And yet, some people, while they hear that God is forgiving, struggle with it, don't they? They really struggle with the idea that God could forgive them and God could forgive their offenses in particular, because they have come to wrongly perceive God as stern and to wrongly perceive God as unforgiving, and that keeps them from real joy. By the way, brethren, I'm talking about real Christians here who struggle with this aspect of God's nature, who find it more comfortable for some odd and strange and sinful reason to think of God as stern and unforgiving rather than as ready to forgive and forgiving at all times. But the reality is that God is forgiving because of His nature, because it's His holy inclination to forgive. It's His first desire to forgive. And he never does so grudgingly or reluctantly, but because he freely wills to do it. And he freely wills to do it abundantly. And this is where we need to start, brethren. When we start talking about the forgiveness of God, we need to start with a right view of God. Do you understand who God really is by nature? Do you understand his forgiving disposition? And we need to understand why he forgives. He doesn't forgive because of our merit. And that's good, because we would never deserve it. We could never accumulate enough merit for him to forgive us. But he forgives because he desires to forgive. Because he's ready to forgive. He wants to restore us. And once we know these truths, the joy will begin to flow. The joy will quickly follow. Then secondly, let us be encouraged by God's eagerness to forgive and to pardon us. Let us be encouraged by God's eagerness to forgive and pardon us. For God's eagerness to forgive is a sign that he desires to put aside those things that hinder our fellowship with him, that he is ready to restore to us the joys that we have somewhere along the way in this Christian pilgrimage forfeited. And this being God's disposition towards us, one of eagerness and readiness to do our souls good, how can we possibly not go to him eagerly? How can we possibly not go eagerly to an eager God and obtain the forgiveness that we need? Oh, brethren, may we see God as ready to pardon, and may we flee to him immediately. Then thirdly, let us be thankful that God forgives all of our offenses. Let us be thankful that God forgives all of our offenses. For as we look candidly at our lives this morning, brethren, we have to admit that we have committed all manner of offenses against him. And we have to admit that our iniquity, our transgressions, and our sins have been many, haven't they? And they still continue to be many. And yet, out of his great mercy, God has forgiven and continues to forgive our horrible offenses against him, and he treats us as favored sons and daughters for Christ's sake, rather than treating us as the rebellious lawbreakers that we truly are by nature. And may we always express our great gratitude to God for this. Let us not remember and dwell upon our sins to the point of morbidity, but do let us remember where God has brought us from. Do let us remember that we were all the chief of sinners before, and yet because of Christ, we are now favored sons and daughters in his sight. Fourthly, by means of application, let us be assured that when God forgives our sins, he forgives them so completely that they will never arise again. We will never be judged and condemned by them. For our transgressions, because of Jesus Christ, have been removed as far from us as the east is from the west. And our many sins now, metaphorically speaking, lie in the depths of the deepest sea, where they will never rise again. Because God, in fulfillment of his new covenant promises to you and to me, has forgotten our iniquities and our sins, and he remembers them no more. And he remembers them no more, not because he fails to remember them, but because he chooses not to remember them, given that they've been dealt with through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And may the assurance that we have been forgiven Lead us to praise, brethren. And there's much we can praise God for when we think about our past sins and even our current sins and how God is gracious to us. Fifthly, let us be diligent in seeking God's forgiveness continually. And I know you know this. We don't go to God just one time for forgiveness, but we go to God continually. We go to God daily for forgiveness. And let us be diligent in doing that, believing that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. For though you and I, brethren, have been delivered from the penalty of sin, we still struggle with remaining sin, don't we? That sin that remains within our members. And we are commanded to continually seek God's forgiveness for the sins that we commit. And what better incentive, brethren, is there to do this than knowing that God delights in those who seek Him, and in knowing that He gladly rewards those who do. Given that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, oh, may we take our sins to God more and more and more. Then sixthly, lastly, let us remember that there is no forgiveness from our iniquities, transgressions, and sins apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, who purchased redemption for the forgiveness of sins for us through His blood. And of course, this is most appropriate for us to remember as we come as God's people to the Lord's table this morning. For in this blessed ordinance, which we are about to partake in together, instituted by Christ Himself, God pledges to us through the elements which represent His broken body and His spilt blood that we have been forgiven of our sins because He bore in His body the penalty that was due to us. Brethren, as we partake of the supper, may we keep in mind two things. How much our forgiveness cost Jesus. And then secondly, how we don't deserve His forgiveness. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. And we thank You for this reminder this morning that You are a forgiving God. And Father, help us to understand that. Even this day, begin to change our views of You if they are not correct, so that we would see that You are a God who is eager to forgive, a God who pardons all of our offenses against You, and a God who rewards those who diligently seek You. And Father, may our understanding of who You are and why You forgive draw us closer to You and give us a greater love for the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself, who purchased our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, that we might be Your children, that we might live in Your blessed presence forever and ever.